Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on September 14th, 2014, titled Why Chicago Can't Afford to Demolish Another School.
I owe a huge gratitude of thanks to the great Dave Glowatz for this column, because you alerted me to a news story you did back in February, I want to say, of 2013. Am I correct about the date?
Sounds about right.
Where you covered a community meeting in Chicago at Truman College, where the principal, the then principal of Trumbull School,
Venus Shannon,
we have a very passionate plea to the Board of Education to keep Trumbull alive, keep Trumbull open, because it played an important role in educating special ed kids. So I urge absolutely everybody to go back and listen to your report, because it had some very compelling testimony.
Listeners, you can find that at shygov.com under the Chicago Schools menu. And we are talking about Trumbull Elementary School, specifically your article in which you write about the site of the school on the north side at Foster and Ashland, which the Board of Education closed last year.
I must correct a mistake that was in the Reader. It's the northwest corner of Foster and Ashland, not the northeast corner.
Let the record show.
Yes.
You also write about the concerns by locals that the school will be redeveloped in such a way that results in a significant change from its current architectural beauty or its demolition.
Mm-hmm.
You write that Mayor Emanuel, quote, had to close at least a couple of schools on the north side, mm-hmm. if only to look as though he wasn't just picking on West and South Siders, end quote.
That is correct.
Do you seriously believe that?
And absolutely.
What do you base it on?
If you're asking me, do I have a memo from Rahm?
Smoking gun.
Rahm to B3, close a school on the north side. No, I do not have that. But it's hardly an original thought. I wish I could say I was the only person who came up with that. It's sort of the conventional thinking on the north side of Chicago that some schools had to be closed. And in fact, I will bet you, young Dave, if we ever get access to the memos that went back and forth, the email that went back and forth.
At the Rahm Emanuel Mayoral Library.
Yes. And
the archives.
We will find out that that was very much part of the discussion. I think it's almost impossible to imagine that they didn't get to that kind of specifics, because he's a very political mayor. It's a very political issue. It's highly charged. And it's always upon us. Like, so for instance, when you talk about where schools get built, the mayor proposed to build the Barack Obama College Prep on the north side as opposed to the south side. Immediately started off a debate as to why isn't it being built on the south side as opposed to the north side. So it's one of those things where I think we'd be fooling ourselves to assume that there wasn't this kind of discussion. So putting that aside, should Trumbull have been closed, which is an issue that you dealt with with more specificity than I did, I don't think it should have been closed based on the reporting that you and others did. I think it served a critical need. And the larger point that I was making in this article is I think there's been an absence of planning when it comes to our public schools. So for instance, all right, we're saying we don't need Trumbull. We're going to close it and potentially tear it down. At the same time, we're building a $20 million extension at Coonley, which is not that far from Trumbull. Coonley has within its school, I call it a smart kids program, but it's a program that draws kids from outside the Coonley district who are high achievers. So why don't you consolidate all the smart kid programs that are in schools like Coonley into Trumbull? Or, you know, why don't you put President Obama High School in Trumbull? Or, you know, why don't you try to use Trumbull for some of your needs as opposed to spending money building?
It's almost as if these plans, these school closing plans, were done completely isolated from anything around them, you know, that they're just looked at in complete isolation.
That is correct. I couldn't have said it better. So, for instance, the whole issue of the demographics on the north side, there should have been a discussion. As far as I could tell, there was no discussion of whether they are predicting an increased demand for public schools on the north side as more middle-class affluent families not only stay in Chicago but decide to send their kids to the local schools. They're very proud of the trends that have occurring in some schools that are just south of Trumbull School. So maybe the same pattern will repeat itself at Trumbull, where more middle-class parents send their kids to the local school, starting with preschool and then going into kindergarten, et cetera, up the ranks. So I see no evidence that anything remotely resembling that kind of discussion took place. My best bet is that they felt pressure to close some Northside schools. Trumbull was perhaps most vulnerable because it didn't have a really strong, wasn't strongly linked to one affluent community.
Not clouded.
It was not clouded, obviously. So it was perhaps the most vulnerable. And that's why it was closed. So even though there is a need for it, now we're in the second stage. What are we going to do with the building? Let's not compound the lack of planning by tearing it down.
I want to come back to that. But the flip side of my first question is, we talked about why schools were closed on the north side. But the flip side of the question is, why were schools predominantly closed on the west and south sides? One obvious answer is that the constituents of those communities lack the political clout, that they're more powerless compared to their north side counterparts.
First of all, the greatest population loss in the city of Chicago was in west side and south side neighborhoods. So obviously those schools, just from sheer numbers, would be the most vulnerable in terms of closing. Then the larger issue is it in our best interest to close them? Would we be better off if we had smaller schools so that we could give more attention to the students there, smaller classes, greater selectivity, more arts programs, more after-school programs? Well, the reality is that we can't afford that. So we cannot afford to make the investment into public education that would be required if we were going to go smaller. So what they do is they consolidate, and so they spend money by taking what could be ideal education situations where there's fewer kids in a classroom, and you make it less ideal where you have more kids into a classroom. So just from the demographic viewpoint, the West and the South side were more vulnerable. But you cannot leave politics out of this discussion. And you're absolutely correct when you say that there's less political clout on the West and the South sides. I'll give you the example, which I wrote about and we discussed, where on the North side, there is a school called Manier. Remember that discussion?
I remember.
It's really underutilized, and it was on the chopping block. Walter Burnett pleaded with the mayor not to merge Manier with Jenner School. There would be too much violence. It was the same argument that many parents gave for the South and West sides. And lo and behold, on the North side, they listened to him. I don't have access to inner documents, so I can't say for certain, but my assumption is that there was a lot of politics were weighed into that, particularly the politics of not wanting to integrate the Manier kids with surrounding predominantly white schools on the north side. The politics of any of these school closing decisions are generally the last thing that the board talks about publicly, but I think we'd be fooling ourselves to assume that they're not there.
In your article, you write that 40th Ward Alderman Pat O'Connor said he'd follow the Board of Education's guidelines for closed schools, which I happen to have heard.
I read those guidelines too. Instruct our listeners on those guidelines.
For those who can't wait for the movie, it says, Chicago Public Schools, CPS, should engage with the community by requesting the aldermen facilitate at least one local meeting for each property being repurposed. Property being repurposed. Those are schools that are closed. These meetings should provide sufficient time for all potential purchasers to present viable proposals for reuse to local residents. The meeting should be preceded by a board outreach effort to advertise the meeting date, time, and location. The meeting should allow residents the opportunity to provide their input on the specific proposals. To ensure that those who cannot attend the meeting are able to offer their input, CPS should create a website that would include information on the reuse proposals for each site and a space for visitors to leave their ideas and comments. Can't wait to read those. The website should document the ideas that are collected online in the same way that it documents the ideas offered at the community meetings. Information about ideas and other relevant comments should be available publicly, either online or in some other easily accessible way. All input that collected both at the meetings and online should be included as part of the solicitation and review of proposals. So there's a lot of process there. For this particular site, Trumbull School, you wrote about the fact that the alderman has received 7 proposals. That's now up to 8, according to the alderman's website. Run down them really quickly here.
Go ahead.
There are 2 proposals for a grocery store along with residential. It's Svego's development. They're talking about a grocery store with 45 apartments, some or all of which could be condos. Regency Centers with grocery store and unspecified residential. Then we have Chicago Development Partners, 47 residential units and a home for the Timeline Theater Company and parking. Cedar Street Companies wants to provide, quote, housing, meaningful retail, whatever that means, parking and shared outdoor community space, unquote. Joseph Fried & Associates wants to provide unspecified, quote, mix of residential and commercial uses. Gorman Company wants to do a cafe plus 63 live-work units, quote, designed to serve up-and-coming entrepreneurs and members of Andersonville's creative class. They're out there. They're listening, I think, too.
They just better not have children. The creative class. Don't have children.
Is it a part of the live-work equation to have children?
Don't have children, or if you do, be rich and send them to private school.
Like Chicago Waldorf School.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding, Chicago Waldorf School.
Yes.
Has a proposal to move their current site to the Trumbull site for pre-K through 12th grade. And Chicago Jewish Day School wants to move their school there for their K through 8 programs. And lastly, Bancroft School wants to move their school for special needs students, ages 3 to 22. So those are the proposals received so far. Some are more specific than others. Mm-hmm. So some are just saying, we want to do something. Let us do something.
Right.
And according to O'Connor's website, the alderman is not only adhering to the Board of Education's community engagement rules that I just described, he's providing plenty of detail and updates to his constituents. Assuming that you think this process won't engage community input, why not? Especially in light of what we talked about in terms of the Northsiders, a more sort of powerful constituency than their West and South Side cords.
Why am I so cynical about the way things happen in Chicago? Why am I so skeptical?
Also, given your article's focus on the historical preservation aspect of the school, none of these 8 proposals, as I read them, appear to significantly alter, or at least none of them will demolish the school.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any that are calling for the out-and-out demolition of the school. But then you get in the issue, and again, like you said, most of these proposals aren't specific. So we don't know the degree to which they'll alter and tamper the school. And what do they mean by working with the school and preserving? So some may keep a portion of the facade. I presume most of them will keep the theater in some shape or form. Actually, I shouldn't even assume that, since I know one in particular says they're going to convert it for Timeline.
Yeah, there's at least another one that says that they'll make use of the theater.
Okay, the issue of preservation, which is a separate issue as opposed to using it as a school, that's a sneaky, devilish issue, because then you have to define what is adequate preservation. Some developers would say, well, if I just keep the outer facade or a portion of the outer facade, then that counts. If I just keep the theater, that counts. Then you get into debate on that issue. I do not in any way trust the city of Chicago to be a fair judge of that debate. I think if it comes down to it, the city has shown, going back to the Daley years, old man Daley for that matter, and not just baby Daley, that push comes to shove, they're not going to preserve something. So I work from the assumption that there's a public debate and then there's a private one, or at least there's always the chance that while we, the public, are paying attention to a very public forum, there's behind the scenes wheeling and dealing that go on. I work from that assumption. This being Chicago, maybe I'll be wrong in this particular instance. There may be another developer who hasn't come forth, or more to the point, of these current developers, they haven't come right out and said exactly what they're going to do to the building for that landmark issue.
And that'll come in the next phase when the Board of Ed issues requests for proposals.
That is correct. And I think that what all the preservationists I talk to, they basically agree with me, though they wouldn't publicly say it. The way you do things in Chicago is you always praise the alderman, because you don't want to get the alderman mad at you. You always praise the mayor, because you don't want to get the mayor mad at you. You express your absolute confidence in the integrity of the process, even though you know, having lived in Chicago, that it's probably not a very fair process, that some people have the upper hand over the others. This is sort of the way Chicagoans go about their lives. It's like the schizophrenia of being a Chicagoan, where you say one thing publicly as though you believe in a system that produced everyone from Rod Blagojevich to hire truck to cost overruns in every project. You express confidence in the system to do it right this time while remaining very skeptical that it will.
Sounds like East Germany.
It's I hadn't thought of that analogy, but East Germany compared to Chicago. Let me think about that, Dave, before I sign on to that
one. You have to be careful what you say publicly, even to your friends who might be working for the Stasi.
Exactly. So, for instance, when I interview any preservationist, immediately go off the record, and then they tell me what's going on, and then they'll offer up some. But I think the Alderman O'Connor is a great guy. Okay. So that's why I stopped quoting people, Dave. I'm really getting out of the game of quoting people since they never tell you anything resembling the truth when it's on the record, right? Unless they've had a few to drink and were in front of a live audience.
But you don't interview people in bars generally for your articles.
Well, you know, sometimes I do, but I've discovered that Chicagoans are very reluctant to go on the record with what they really feel. That's something I've discovered, and it's become worse over the years. It wasn't so bad during the days of Harold Washington. It got worse under Daley, and it's at an all-time low under Rahm. People are so afraid.
East Germany.
That's his analogy, not mine.
You quote Alderman O'Connor as saying that whatever ends up at the Trumbull site, it should generate taxes for the city.
Yes.
You write, quote, "That would seem to rule out using Trumbull strictly as a school."
Correct.
"Since schools don't pay property taxes," end quote. Help me understand that. All three school developers in the proposals that I just talked about say they would acquire, not rent, the property. If the city sold the property to a private entity that opened a school there, wouldn't it pay property taxes?
No, schools are tax exempt, even private schools.
Even private
schools. Yeah, Catholic schools, parochial schools are all tax exempt. God, I don't know the ins and outs of property tax law to tell you. If a school rents a portion of its site to a for-profit operation, so let's say the theater was rented out for a for-profit theater, I guess the theater would be paying property taxes, a portion of the building. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It gets into the sort of like the Park Grill issue, the debate over whether you have to pay property taxes if you operate a for-profit operation in a public park. This is what got preservationists nervous when Alderman O'Connor at these early meetings kept emphasizing the need to generate property taxes from that. And that's what people speak in codes. So the interpretation that many preservationists drew from Alderman O'Connor's comments about the need to generate property taxes was, we're going to tear this building down so it's not a school. That's the takeaway they took. So they came back by saying, we're fighting to preserve it as something. And so a preservationist, even on the record, will tell you, we're not here to debate the merits of schools. That's another thing about one of my favorite things about preservationists. They only allow themselves to participate in certain aspects of the debate, not the full debate.
They don't want to lose their focus.
Yeah, their focus is preserving the building. So I remember this one, this great debate, and this may have been before we started talking, doing our interviews, about a school just on Taylor Street. And it was a beautiful school, Jacob Riis School, that Mayor Daley allowed to be demolished to make way for development. And in the end, I, of course, was advocating that the, always on the losing side, that the building be kept as a school on the very similar grounds. We're redeveloping the area. We're going to need schools. Schools should be a part of the community. Let's not have to build a completely new school down the road. Let's keep this school. It's a gorgeous building. In the end, it was the preservationists of the world who were fighting to save the building, and they were hoping that it could be converted, gutted as a school building and turned into some kind of condos or whatever, and they lost. It was torn down. I believe it's still an empty lot. They told me, man, we can't get involved in the school issue because that's not our charter. That's not what we're all about. And besides, our pressing concern is saving the building. If we could get it saved for reasons other than a school, we're going to go there. So here we go. We are at Trumbull, and the preservationists are saying, save our beautiful building, but we're not going to take a stand on whether it should be used as a school. If we can save it, that's what's paramount to us. So there's all these different needs and all these pressing concerns, conflicting agendas, you might say. I don't see a tremendous group of people advocating that it be saved as a school. The only person I know who's doing that is me. Usually I'm on the losing end of any debate in this town.
But I'm not the first person to point out that it might be foresighted to keep all of these schools as schools if as the mayor would like, the city's, you know, if you look at the strategy of, for example, tax increment financing or central area business development, creative class, incubators, whatever you want to call them, that strategy implies that there's going to be increased population in Chicago, that more people move to Chicago. So it would be foresighted to keep the schools as schools.
That's what I've been arguing since 2006, I believe it is, where I wrote that article about the Jacob Riis School. So to use your example, one of the proposals is to have some kind of incubator where really smart people from Andersonville come together and plot the creation of their really smart ideas. So the joke I made was, well, they better not have children because there won't be any place to send their kids. I think there's a lot of assumptions about middle-class people and yuppies and young people and young creative types in schools that are not always stated. But the assumption is that school is not a primary concern of theirs. A young creative type in Andersonville is not thinking of school. He or she is just thinking of getting his great creative endeavor off the ground.
And then make a lot of money, then move to Winnetka.
Okay. Or send his kid to Latin school or something like that. And you're like one step ahead of the game. You're thinking like a plan. That's why I said, let's do something really radical in Chicago. Let's plan. I think we'd all be a lot healthier if those really smart entrepreneurs of Andersonville, on whose behalf some developer wants to gut Trumbull School, actually thought about whether they wanted to stay in Chicago, what it meant to be a citizen of the city, what it meant to raise a child in the city.
Instead of just taking advantage of the city and getting your money and run.
Yeah, I mean, you know, oh, I love the variety, I love the ethnic restaurants, I'm going to go to Reese's, oh, I love this coffee, it's like 20 coffee shops on Clark Street, you know, I could take my pick, the city is going to turn the school into a playground for me. And then 10 years from now, who'll be the one calling me? Ben, there's no one to send me to school. You know, they all come crying to me sooner or later. I think that the Trumbull story is illustrative of so much more than itself. It talks about how we do planning in this city or don't. It talks about how we treat schools in this city. It talks about attitudes towards schools. It talks about the utter weakness of the preservation community, its isolation from other communities, activist communities, and the pretense we have of democracy and how everything's really open and planned when most of us assume that there's something going on behind the scenes. So it's kind of like Chicago in a nutshell, which is why it's a good topic for a column.
That's all we've got time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
Listeners, we welcome your questions and comments via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government, and on your web, go to shygov.com. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.